This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I touch my face a lot.
A lot.
I am all over my face.
Yep.
I am fondling my face
yep.
on a minute-by-minute basis. And I can't stop.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last hour of the week, no better way, no other way, really, to kick it off than to talk to Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News, verified at Mick Schaefer on Twitter. All sorts of wonderful things that you can watch on 41 Action News over the course of the days, weeks to come, as the Chiefs, I'm going to just say, are on their inevitable march to the Super Bowl. And then you can cut this clip if they lose to the Browns on Sunday. Mick, first and foremost, how did you enjoy plebeian weekend with the six games that we are successfully, I think. I didn't see anyone else using the old name on Twitter. It was just straight up hashtag plebe week. And the hashtag was there and everything.
Yep. Plebe week, I think it's going to stick. I mean, it has to. It makes the most sense. I appreciate you being the only other person in the world to back me on that. But regardless of what it was NFL football. There's kind of some dud games, Saints Bears. There was a game I didn't watch, Rams Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And then there was what I thought was the best game, and maybe it was because, you know, the Chiefs fans were most intrigued by it, which was Steelers and Browns. But the Browns had the best performance of the weekend. I think a lot of that was good fortune, but along with that was some good play. And so it was exciting. The best part is there's no Chiefs. And it's like you just said, the inevitable run of the Super Bowl. It's when you get that bye, it's crazy how close you feel to the Super Bowl as opposed to if you have to play on Wild Card weekend. You've got to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. I had 3 weeks of winning. Right, it's kind of the mindset to get to the Super Bowl if you have to play on Wild Card weekend. If you get a bye, it's like your mindset is, all right, we are one win away from playing for the Super Bowl, right? It's just that's it. One win away from playing for the Super Bowl. And that's how the Chiefs have been the last 3 years. And it's a huge deal, man, getting that bye, which is basically a win in the postseason, getting guys, hopefully healed up. It's a big thing. So that's the cool part. You don't have any of the anxiety that all these other 12 fan bases are having to feel. You just get to sit back and let the cards fall.
And you're right that it feels like we hit the sim week button, essentially, because the realization that I came to, I was doing my video out at Arrowhead on Wednesday, and I kind of said out loud, like, between the Chiefs and Browns, one of these teams is going to the AFC Championship game. And the only thing that feels even more bonkers than the fact that the Browns are one win away from an AFC Championship game is that the Chiefs only have to beat the Browns to end up in the AFC Championship game. Like, it feels like it all kind of happened. The season went by pretty slowly. These last 2 weeks feel like they've been kind of a blur, at least in terms of what's next, even though they haven't played these last 2 weeks.
I don't know if it's been a blur for me. I'm ready to see Patrick Mahomes play football again.
It's me
been
too.
Since like Christmas, right? 2 days after Christmas, the last time we saw him play, which has been on the dot before we see him play again. But I think that's obviously a great thing for all the reasons we just highlighted there. And I think this Browns team is the worst team, not by a lot, but by some, the worst team the Chiefs have played in the Mahomes era in the postseason. I think they are worse than the Colts of 2018 is the worst of the five games. Still, I mean, five games, right? But I think this will be the worst team. Now, whether, hey, that plays out on the field, you never know. It's the NFL. Every game's pretty much close or kind of close, and it's the playoffs, and they're going to get closer and tighter, and I'm sure there's going to be some anxious moments in this game. Maybe the Chiefs, especially if they follow their MO, probably be some times where they don't have the lead in this game, but I see them winning by two scores, and I think in the playoffs you can call that comfortably.
Do you have any sort of hesitance because of Sammy Watkins not playing in this game?
No. Well,
Okay, go. All right, fine. Next question. So, Clyde Edwards.
Earlier today, well, I talked about this, and I'm the minority on this. They talked to Matt Derrick, and I'll pose this to you, you and Rudy. They talked to Matt Derrick, and they said, okay, if you could pick one guy to come back for this game, Sammy Watkins or Mitchell Schwartz. Matt thought about it, and as I said earlier on the phone, Matt ruined his streak of saying all the right things for 2 years on that show. He picked Sammy Watkins, and no way, in my opinion. I want Mitchell Schwartz back over Sammy Watkins. Look, I know how good Watkins was the last few postseason games. I think the Chiefs still win those games. No, he was against the Titans to seal it, to make sure they went to the Super Bowl. He had the big catches in the Super Bowl. But I'm going to pick the best right tackle, or arguably the best right tackle in the game, over maybe your fourth best option on the team when it comes to throwing the ball.
Now you're
so that's my statement.
You're giving me like 2019 Mitch Schwartz, right? Because you know beginning of this year it seemed like he was dealing with it. You're saying full health.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
I can give one of them,
I don't know if I'm doing that. I don't know. I'll say. He comes back. He starts practicing, which he's out, right? Mm-hmm. Or he's obviously not playing. Mm-hmm. So is Sammy. But if you start, I'd say both of them start practicing this week. You still have, it's 2020 Mitch Schwartz. You still have, he hasn't played in whatever it is, 8 or 9 games.
Mm-hmm. But healthy enough to play.
I'm still taking Schwartz.
I don't know. I don't know if this is just me trying to keep that heat from hashtag plebe week and everything, but I think you're right.
Yeah,
I've referred back to this several times before the season on Time's Ours, the podcast on The Athletic. Me and Nate Taylor and Seth Kaiser did a little draft of non Patrick Mahomes members of the Chiefs offense in terms of like, all right, let's say if we're trying to build our own little rosters from the Chiefs offense, who goes where? And if memory serves, the first three picks in order were Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mitchell Schwartz. I think I took Schwartz because I think that the difference between. Listen, because we talked about this yesterday. We talked about it some tonight. Like the fact that Sammy Watkins can win one-on-one matchups in a way that can punish defenses for doubling Kelce and Hill, the Chiefs think there's value in that because they keep paying him to do it. But if especially against the Browns, you could give me, you know, let's at least say, you know, not week four Mitch Schwartz because he was struggling. If that's the case, then I would probably just take Watkins. But if you're giving me a predominantly healthy Mitchell Schwartz, he's now dealing with Myles Garrett, which is making the rest of your offensive line's job significantly easier.
And so Rimmer can move to guard. I know Rimmer's been fine at right tackle, but Rimmer can move to guard. I think it strengthens up two positions on the offensive line. And by the way, the offensive line is still in charge of protecting Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I at the very least, I think it's close to a toss-up, but I think I'd lean in the mid-shorts direction there also.
And look, I mean, I know we kind of, we'll make jokes about DeMarcus Robinson and stuff he does with the ball in his hands. And then Mecole Hardman can kind of be not reliable at times. But Patrick Mahomes makes those guys who they are. And you got Byron Pringle, too. I think you have plenty of guys that can step up and be, you know, 90% of Sammy Watkins. Or if you ask me, can be 110% of Sammy Watkins. And the Chiefs will be Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he got Chris Conley a new contract.
That's
okay?
True. Yeah.
In 2018. I think for a lot of those guys outside of Hill and Kelce, Mahomes makes those guys what they are. So I would take Schwartz. But I mean, everybody's allowed to be wrong. Mm. Honestly, guys. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I do firmly believe that like the offense looks different when Sammy Watkins out there. You can't really quantify it, but we've seen like you said, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, and Byron Pringle have all had big games in the NFL. Like if you're giving me a healthy Mitchell Schwartz, like I'll take that all day. So I think that increase from Rimmers to Schwartz is just much greater than say dropping from Sammy to Mecole or Sammy to Pringle, because again we've seen them all have massive days out there. They're all capable of that, and because of Patrick Mahomes. And if Patrick Mahomes is laying on his back, it's hard to make those guys look good.
Yeah,
and you're used to not having Sammy Watkins.
That too.
Let's be honest. He misses multiple games every single season, and you're just fine. You're just everything's. Everything's fine. It's funny because, you know, we talk about this and talk about the receivers and the running backs. I think a great offensive line can turn a guy into a super. A great offensive line can send Terrell Davis to the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a bad offensive line can make Jamaal Charles look average.
Right.
I think you shore up that part, I think all the skill position guys get better.
One thing that you mentioned in one of the games that wasn't very interesting from Plebe Week. Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast at all of Saints Bears?
I did, and I loved it.
It's okay. I'm excited about this, and I want to know why you love. I'm not going to give you my whole hand, other than that. I also enjoy. I watched literally whistle to whistle. I watched SpongeBob's pregame show, and then I was there until the final whistle. Why did you like it so much? What did it do for you? Because you obviously have a good eye for television.
Right. Yeah, I do. You know what? It was just kind of pure, and it wasn't jaded like a lot of broadcasts are, and like a lot of us are watching professional sports in the NFL. And they had talent on that show. I am Eagle's son, Noah. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's like 24.
Yep.
But he doesn't sound like anybody that's a couple of years removed from college. He sounds like a guy that's going to be on CBS, is like working the number three team in like a few years.
Yep.
Really good. Just like his dad, who was criminally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a 15-year-old Nickelodeon star, right? She's a singer or something like that, Gabby Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She was great on the microphone. She obviously knew nothing about football, but that was just fine. And then you had, Nate Burleson, who I think is going to be a star. He was awesome on that broadcast.
Yep.
And I've seen him on NFL Network more and more now. As I watch that channel more,
mm-hmm.
and he's really good there. I think he can be – again, one of those guys can start teaming up and doing regular color. It seems like we're kind of in an age where we're kind of getting a new younger talent for those games. I think he would be a great fit on one of those teams. I tweeted out that Noah Eagle has already been saddled with broadcast partners better than his dad, because I had Charles Davis and Dan Fouts.
While you were talking about Ian Eagle being underrated, Rudy killed our mics and said it's because Eagle had been with Dan Fouts. And that's such
right?
That's
so true.
Yes, 100%. 100,000%. Because, listen, at least the Gabby, the 15-year-old girl, at least she sounded like engaged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She was into it. She was trying to learn.
Yeah.
Dan Fouts couldn't give a bleep.
Absolutely, and I loved how they explained everything in detail, and I also tweeted out that I need shows like that for, like, the stock market for me, right?
Yes!
This is a share. This is what happens when you buy a stock, and like, okay, I'll take that for a lot of things in my life. I would love that broadcast. So I think the NFL, honestly, has stumbled onto something there, and maybe it's, Disney next, or it doesn't have to be kids programming. It could be other channels with different themes. I suggested NFL broadcast during Shark Week.
Ooh. Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
the Red Zone is now like a pool filled with sharks swimming or something like
instead
that.
Instead of slimes, you just drop. Instead of slime, you have a shark just drop out of the top of the stadium.
And then we get like a holographic, can Tyreek Hill run faster than a shark swimming?
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Yeah, I love
this
that.
Is it all day.
And what I've always wanted, which is HBO to get rights to professional games,
yes.
where you can cuss on the air.
Yes.
And then maybe the broadcasters are naked or something like that. on HBO.
And now HBO has named their new broadcast booth, and oh, Dan Fouts is back. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
it's a Game of Thrones broadcast for the NFL would be awesome.
Yeah, I like that a lot. The one thing that sort of struck me towards the end of the Nickelodeon game, because again, I was thinking in the fourth quarter, at one point someone tweeted about how they weren't going to give up Tony Romo because the game was on CBS.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I would like to see what Tony Romo is saying about some things. And I thought, well, this game's actually pretty much over. And with the exception of I'm gonna leave somebody out, and I'm not including play-by-play because, like you said, Noah Eagle was great. Ian Eagle is great. Everybody, I mean, the most of the play-by-play voices, Kevin Harlan, for the love of God, like, most of the play-by-play guys do a really excellent job. But in terms of color commentary, Romo, Collinsworth, even, like, Lewis Riddick, who I think says great things about football, the space that he has to work in is so small, and then you get to your average dude, just kind of your three team on CBS or whatever, and it's not actually adding to the experience. I didn't miss that sort of middling analysis. Whenever Collinsworth breaks out the telestrator or Romo is explaining things, you know, during the replay, I do learn something that I didn't see with my own eyes. But for the most part, I really don't. In the Nickelodeon one, they weren't trying to tell me something that I should have not known by then. It was just fun, and like it's just kind of relaxed in a way that it was a good viewing experience, even as someone who theoretically knows a decent amount about football already.
Yeah, I remember it was several years ago. My oldest was like, we're watching the game. He's like, Dad, I can tell what the commentator is going to say after every play.
Absolutely.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yep.
Because that was the tail end of the Deerdorf and the Faust days of where, okay, you pick up 5 yards on first down. This is what I'm going to say.
Yep.
Here's a 15-yard pass play. Here's what I'm going to say. Here's a set. This is my scripted line every single time. It was literally like Madden.
Yeah.
To where when it happens on Madden, there's a there's a little button push inside that PS5, right? And that line comes out. Although now they are really, it's really lifelike on the Madden and the NBA games. They're like have conversations and they really don't repeat much. It's crazy how good they are there. But that's what it was forever. And I'm with you, Collinsworth, Romo. There's a handful of guys out there that stand out. It seems like on the analyst side, there's a much broader range from good to bad as there is on the play-by-play side. Pretty much everybody on the NFL broadcast. Now, ESPN rolls the people out there on college broadcasts that should not be calling games, in my opinion.
Right.
But, I mean, all those CBS and Fox guys are pretty much Syracuse dudes that were born to do this. And, so they're really good. But, yeah, I think you had the biggest discrepancy on the analyst side.
Because there are definitely 15 really, really good, almost indiscernible play-by-play people who can do NFL games. I mean, and you get the radio ones, which branch out, but all of those, I mean, you're right. There are few enough jobs there that it seems like they're almost all in good hands. But the analysis, it's just, the Madden comp is perfect. It's perfect, because you know what I do whenever I'm playing Madden? I usually turn that off, or I put in an earbud and listen to something else completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Because they're not actually adding, they're not enriching the experience in any way. So I think that's really interesting. Is Eric Bieniemy just not going to get a head coaching job? Because it kind of seems like he might not.
Ever or this year?
This year.
No, I don't think so this year. He might need to start his own team.
Get some investors. Let's get a 33rd team. Hey, we can make this happen.
What is it going to take? What is it going to take? It's genuinely, it's a bit baffling in some ways at this point. Like I maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I can't help but be at least a little bit.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I am shocked. We did an interview with Steve Mariucci though, and he kind of calmed me down a little bit this week. I'm like, what's it going to take? He's like, I go, is it now or never? He's like, of course not. No, he's young. It's 3 years, because we kind of get that now or never feeling. Here in Kansas City, because it's been 13 interviews with 12 different teams, and how many times, you know, is he going to have to hear no? And he said, look, you've got to fit. You're in there, and in this case, on a Zoom call with the GM and the owner, and you've got to jive with them right away. You got to be the right kind of fit. You have to have the right style, approach, and all that. And if it doesn't match, it doesn't match, no matter, I guess, what your production is or how many times you've led the league in total yardage or what coaching tree you're coming from, that matters most. And that's the problem. We talked about it today, is that all the evidence we see on the outside, media and fans, is like all great stuff for Bieniemy, right? Mm-hmm. It's all great stuff. The production, the yardage, Mahomes, what he's done, the play calling, and winning a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm shocked. Last year, I was trying to calm everybody else down. I'm like, he's been an OC for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's won the Super Bowl. He's going to get one. And they have 7 openings this year, and it appears that he might not get an offer. I would have thought he would have had multiple offers, had to choose from this year. We'll see if it shakes out. the 49ers DC, is it Saleh? Is that how you say his last name?
Saleh. Yeah. Robert Saleh.
Saleh.
Yeah.
He got hired. He is a minority hire. We'll see if there's any others. But there have been. And so not that that argument goes away. It's certainly there. It's certainly something you investigate. But you also investigate the stuff you can't see, like I was talking about.
Sure.
Of okay, what happens during this interview? How do these go? I have no idea. I cover sports, but I have no idea what a head coaching interview goes through. I mean, do you have your resume right there? Do you have this big old binder with, okay, this is my, these are my plans for everything? Mm-hmm. You would think that Bienemy coming up under Andy Reid, who is notorious for having a plan for everything, would have something very detailed out. But I don't know. We don't know, and that's something that Mariucci kind of hammered home. To what there's the Rooney Rule, there's the black head coach issue, and that's something, like I said, needs to be looked at. But there are many other reasons why he might not be getting a job as well. So, but yeah, I'm shocked. I can't believe it, and kind of it felt like the Falcons were his best chance, and it looks like that's not going to happen if Arthur Smith takes that job. And so, we're running out of openings. So, but I am calmed down to where I don't think it's now or never. I think there's always going to be have his opportunity. But I mean, look at a guy like Dave Tobe. He's never got his shot.
Yeah.
Despite success, although I think he's been buried in special teams hell. Right, special teams coordinator. Like, try selling that to a fan base.
Yeah,
you just have to
lean on John Harbaugh. You just have to say he is John Harbaugh. That's your only real hope.
Yeah. Well, and then that's the other thing is, like, I can't remember what national writer or publication tweeted it out. They said with Bienemy, there's some concerns that he's worked under. With coming from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and at first you're like, wait, it's like the most successful coaching tree since Bill Parcells, right?
Right.
And but then his point was like, on the defensive side, offensive has been, and according to him, lacking lately. And so what do you look at? Nagy and Peterson. Peterson did win a Super Bowl, but he did just get fired. Nagy survived the hot seat, I guess, this year and backed his way into the playoffs to where you could at least look at both of those and say, hey, they're not home run hires. And they're not even, John Harbaugh or, Ron Rivera, who are defensive guys. Sean McDermott was a Andy defensive guy, to where the book might be is, okay, on offense here, it's all Andy with these Chiefs. And so it does stink. I think they've been so good offensively that you can just say, well, yeah, you got Mahomes, you got Kelsey, you got Hill, you got Andy. Yeah, of course you're going to succeed, as opposed to Arthur Smith, right? Who's like there are less other stuff's falling out around him, and he was able to do a good job because he's exceeded expectations.
Yeah, which is also it's just interesting to say, like, you did not as impressive a job in a worse situation. It's like, I don't know, I don't think that's even a terrible line of logic. It's just there's so many factors. The one thing about the all of the issues with not being a nearly representative number of minority head coaches in the league as opposed to the amount of minority players in the league and over the last 30 years and whatnot that should theoretically kind of breed more coaches. The one thing is something that Andy Reid talked about that you just touched on, where Reid said, look, you got to have that relationship with the ownership right away. They've got to trust that you guys are going to work together well and all that. And I do think that it's got to be significantly harder to be a younger black coach. He's not young, but younger than a handful, especially than the predominantly old white guy owners that he's interviewing with. There's at least that. I don't think that it's necessarily malicious, but there is going to be an extra barrier there. That it's a hurdle that he and Saleh, who successfully cleared it, are going to have to clear. That, that Doug Peterson, it doesn't surprise me that Doug Peterson was able to vibe with, and will probably get another head coaching job at some point because he's able to vibe with some NFL owners.
Yeah, and then another thing, I mean, in this climate, in this culture where everybody's, it seems like everybody is and should be, making sure they're hiring on merit and mm-hmm. making sure that they have a diverse working environment.
Mm-hmm.
What we've gone through this past year, that adds to my shock.
Mm-hmm.
That you would think, okay, in some situations, if all things are equal, if they like these two candidates, then they would give the nod to a minority candidate just because, you know, just the disparity that we see right now
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, maybe this is the answer for us. And look, and like I said, we don't know so much about what goes on in it, but I would say this, even if Bieniemy is hurt by all the production, right? Mm-hmm. Ironically, that his team and his offense put up, guys have gotten jobs for decades because of that, right? It's
yeah.
It's all the time. The number one offense in the NFL, the OC is like the top guy for the next head coaching job since
yeah.
the beginning of the NFL. And so for that to be work against him, I don't see why.
Yeah, Brian Daboll put up some stinkers, but he's made Josh Allen look great, so he's getting all the interviews and whatnot.
By the way, I don't remember Brian Daboll as Chiefs offensive coordinator. Do you remember?
I do.
2012, it's
yeah.
a forgettable year. I legit do not remember him.
I do because he used to look like someone that was like a friend of my dad's, and I remember like literally being like, he looks very much like this guy. And is he the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs? Oh, well, it doesn't really matter because Brian Daboll's not going to be the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs for very much
yeah.
longer. So, yeah, a forgettable tenure, I think, is fair. We've covered, you know, I think, a pretty kind of important issue. So I think let's push the envelope. Let's go one more kind of level deep and serious here. I don't know if you saw this because it was right after the Zone wrapped up today. There's a report that LeBron is going to leave Coca-Cola and is about to sign a massive deal with Pepsi. He's
Ooh.
Been with Coke for 18 years.
LeBron is with Coca-Cola?
He's been with Coca-Cola for 18 years, which I know you knew, but you're...
Do you remember any LeBron Coke ads?
Sprite.
There have been a lot of them?
The Sprite ones.
Yeah.
The Sprite,
oh,
like...
Oh, Sprite. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
And so now the question is he going to be the face of 7-Up, which I imagine is probably a Pepsi product?
Sierra Mist should be...
Oh, is it Sierra Mist?
Sierra
That's
Mist
the worst decision than going back to Cleveland. You're dropping Coke for Pepsi?
Well,
but Wild Cherry
Miami
Pepsi.
For Cleveland.
Wild Cherry Pepsi... Absolutely crushes. I will stand up for Wild Cherry Pepsi now and forever.
No, nowhere near Cherry Coke, but sure, go on.
I came with you on Plebe Week and on Mitch Schwartz over Sammy Watkins, and if we have to depart on Wild Cherry right. Pepsi, you know, then so be it. But if you were able to just sort of secure one really significant brand deal, you know, you end up with the gold card for the product. That's something that's attached to you forever.
Mm-hmm.
I have at least one guess as to what your first answer may be, but what would you say? You know what? That's where I'd like to put my name.
And so I get that product for free for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you are the blank guy. Like that it becomes your brand right there.
I mean, Coke's up there, right? That's going to be like one of the biggest brands.
Mm-hmm.
I come from you should see my parents' basement. They are a Coke family. They collect everything Coca-Cola. The plates they eat on, the silverware, everything is Coca-Cola. It's insane. But I want to give a better answer than that. Now, immediately I go to, like, car company. Should I be the Ferrari guy?
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Should I get those?
That's probably the right answer, honestly,
because yeah.
I would just love to – really, any car company, if I just knew that as soon as my check engine light comes on, I can just drop it off at the dealership and say, hi, I'm Joshua Briscoe from TV and radio. You guys will handle this, right? And then they'll fix it and then give it back to me. That power would
right.
be worth more money
right.
than I'll ever see.
How about this? Could I be like a mortgage guy to where I don't have a house payment?
I was
like J.C. Nichols spokesman. I don't have a house payment.
I was gonna say I'm the Reese Nichols guy. They're just giving me houses.
All right,
yeah.
That's you know, and this is also why I'm glad that I got on this idea by you guys because you know I was sitting here
car
thinking,
and house though is like I think
I got my checkbook out. I'm just going through my business right now.
Right, I was thinking too small. I was thinking, man, Mick could have infinite roller food from Quick Trip. He could.
Oh, you're right. That's the answer. That's it. QT.
You walk into QT with you know the big Q cup. You're probably a big Q guy, right? Are you a Styrofoam cup guy?
Styrofoam.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want your drink to only last 25 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I want to get the styrofoam cup. Let's be honest here. That thing will last for hours. So, hours in there. It's worth the extra dime.
Here's what I've got now then. I've got you've got the styrofoam cup, but what you take in with you every time is a solid gold sleeve that just perfectly cups the outside of a big Q styrofoam cup. And then you walk in with that. You get a fresh styrofoam cup every time. But you pop that in there, fill her up, you just walk right out the door. They go, "Wait, sir, excuse me." And you turn around, you just hold up the gold cup and they go, "Oh, Mr. Schaefer, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you, but I should have. I'm going to resign in shame because that is your power."
No, I'm totally down with that. Although I might have a bit. Can I somehow be the spokesperson for parenting? Because kids are the most important expensive thing in my life and anybody else's if you have them. So I want to be the spokesman for parenting. Oh, okay, you be our spokesman with a parenting PSA company out here. We make commercials, make PSAs for being good parents. You're a spokesman. We will take care of every expense your kid ever has. Sign me up for that.
That's pretty good.
Or I've got more here, guys. Can I be the Oklahoma State spokesman?
Yep.
To where my kids can go to college.
As soon as you went parenting, I knew you said one more. Yeah. College makes a lot of sense. I think you could definitely make the Oklahoma State thing work. I do think that, you know, between, let's say, Quick Trip and good parenting, you probably have a little sort of thicker resume for the QT side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
you want
to have a shot to get that gig.
That is true. I've been much better at patronizing QT than I have been, much better than I have been in a parent because I patronize my kids.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep, I'm glad that you. I was sitting here saying, "Oh, he says patronize again." Just kind of. It's listen. What I just did right there, me analyzing that joke that you just made, was basically me being an NFL color commentator, adding nothing but filling silence. Which, by the way, if that's not our whole job, is just filling silence. I don't know what else it would be.
We're all just killing time till we die, finding stuff to do.
I guess on that note, thanks, Mick. We'll talk to you again next week unless we die or fail to fill time by then.
Yep, if we die, we will not talk next week.
Yeah, that's that's fair.
I think in the afterlife we got a podcast.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Welcome to the Hellcast. It's almost entirely lakes of fire with Mick Schaefer.
Instead of saying bye, Mom, each week, you say, "Hope you don't die, everybody." New outro.
Stay alive, folks. Don't meet Jesus or Satan or whoever.
Of course. I think you may find something else. Hope you don't die. Because genuinely, I mean, every time we depart, we hope the other person doesn't die. That's like the genuine. I hope nobody dies.
Yeah.
That can be your outro. Hope nobody dies.
I mean, I got a list of like three people.
But, a couple people you want.
Well, you know what? I mean, Dan Fouts isn't even on TV anymore, so it's probably just like two.
Troy Aikman.
No, you don't want to put that out into the world.
No,
right
I don't. No, I don't. No, listen. I've picked enough fights with really underperforming Hall of Fame quarterbacks, as Rudy just pointed out, and so I don't need Dan Fouts' heat. It's just at this point, it's kind of me versus Troy, and I certainly don't want him to die at this point. think about all the Twitter engagement he's gotten me. I hope he lives forever.
Yep.
All right. Well, this has been a good segment. Thanks, Mick. I hope you don't die.
Thank you.
Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, still alive, saying goodbye to my mom and hoping that you don't die.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Rudy's out here trying to establish the dumb.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Myself. There it is. Oh, man.
Who's establishing the dumb out here?
During the break, Rudy and I were both just talking about how genuinely really, really nice it is to have beards back.
Any insults,
and man. Then he plays the liner about Rudy establishing the dumb and
I mean,
fails
really,
to turn my mic
off. That was for a lead-in for your time of possession stat.
Ah, well.
That's what that was for. That wasn't, that wasn't for
football.
Rudy. That wasn't for Rudy. That was just.
That was for me.
That was establish the run. That was what that was for.
That's fair.
Which is fair. The Browns' the only chance of winning is if they establish the run. I firmly believe this.
Yes, agreed.
It really
the running
has.
The football is when you put it up in the air, right? Like, and a guy runs underneath it and catches it.
Yeah,
that is
you,
running the football.
Yeah, you run it up into the air.
Yes.
with anti-gravity.
Yes.
And then it comes back down with gravity, and you run under it and catch it.
And then you run to the end zone.
That's right. Run mostly running. All right. Beards, can I get some break? Can I get a breaking news at your earliest possible convenience? I am finally about to give the time of possession stat that I have now been meaning to talk about for really, I was going to say 2.5 hours, really 2 days. Breaking news, please. It's not actually my stat, although I had the privilege of reading it before it was published. It's up in Arrowhead Report. This is obviously a conflict of interest. I'm obviously now self-promoting in a way that I, you know, I'll self-promote, cross-promoting
that
in a way.
You never do? Yeah,
I,
no, sure.
I self-promote
totally.
All the time. I don't totally. Cross-promote. I try,
never,
I try
never
to,
cross-self-promote.
I want the snake to eat its own tail in a way that it survives by the end. You know, I don't know. What does that sound?
It's like when you deeply get the end of your drink. Yeah.
Why are we doing that?
Remember when we used to do that whenever, anytime
oh,
that was
me.
We would take a drink.
Drink whenever I self-promote. I forgot about that bit.
So the problem was there was more water
I
in there.
I swear to God in heaven, Rudy, if yes. you talk about this so long,
two seconds.
I don't get to my...
I just need 2 seconds. There was more water in here than I thought there was, and so all of a sudden I was like, oh God, where's the police water? Please get the in here.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, and I'll give you my time of possession stat. I'm going to do it now. The research and the story here, again, shameless cross-promotion notwithstanding. If you go to arrowheadreport.com, it's been a sort of side project that I've been working on throughout basically since April with Sports Illustrated. Been a great experience. It's where Tucker D. Franklin, little Chiefs boy, has really found his footing. And the crew of people who write for the – I don't write nearly as much – as everyone else does. I just go, the little Chiefs boy does the writing and all this cast of characters writes, and I do my share of editing it all, and been a great little project along with Time Czars. Not that they're together, but you know, two separate little additional sort of side projects that I've been really happy to be able to do for a while now. And this is one of the stats that jumped off the page to me. Connor Christofferson, one of our writers at Arrowhead Report. I cannot remember for the life of me his Twitter handle off the top of my head. I'm going to find it because I'm going to give him the cross promotion because he did work on this. He was telling me this is not available on Football Reference. He's Connor_DKC. Thank you, Beards. He did the work on this one. He wrote about time of possession, how it's not going to impact the Chiefs here. It doesn't impact the Chiefs. It's not going to save the Browns this weekend. And this is the stat to me that I think is the absolute knockout statistic. But before I get to that, gotta get breaking news one more time. Whenever we talk about time of possession, usually we can at least drag even Pete Carroll and Greeny and hashtag Greeny over to
it's
say,
me,
well,
Greeny.
Okay, can we at least, you want to get one more cut at that?
It's me, Greeny.
You can at least usually drag the time of possession conversation over to instead talking about number of possessions. Because at least we can all, you know, listen, what's more valuable, a 7-minute drive that ends in a field goal or a 30-second drive that ends in a touchdown? With incredibly few exceptions, the touchdown makes it more important. Good use of the button, Beards. So if we talk about number of possessions, okay, well, you know, there was the analogy that Ethan Douglas wrote about in The Athletic. He talked to us about it a few weeks ago. You know, the analogy is if you're going to have a 3-point shooting contest with Steph Curry, you want that number of shots you both take to be as low as possible. If you each shoot 100 threes, you are going to lose, no question. If you each take one shot, there's a chance that he bricks it, and there's a chance that you bank it in. Mm-hmm. So you would have a much better chance beating Steph Curry in a one out of one 3-point shooting competition than a 100-shot competition. If you are the inferior team or you're the underdog, you want to increase randomness by decreasing sample size. So theoretically, if you could, instead of the Chiefs, if both teams are scoring all the time, you know, maybe you're thinking, all right, maybe each team gets 15 possessions in that game. All right, well, what if we take 9-minute-long drives and just chew up the clock? What can we get that down to? Because if you could hold the Chiefs to 4 possessions in a game, I'm going exaggerating in both directions. Mm-hmm. If you can hold them to four possessions in a game, well, then there's a better chance that they have an uncharacteristic three and out and one turnover, and then if they score two touchdowns, all right, well, now you've batted 500 there. That's pretty good. You got it. Now you just have to score on three of your drives because they only scored touchdowns on two of theirs. So number of possessions is at least a smarter metric, even though, as Seth and Ethan and Nate wrote about in The Athletic a while back, the possession number is still something that doesn't move as much as you might think. Here's what Connor Christofferson wrote in Arrowhead Report today. In the Chiefs' 10 worst games by total time of possession under Mahomes, the Chiefs averaged 10.2 drives per game. So whenever they had in their 10 games with the least time of possession, mm-hmm. they averaged 10.2 drives per game. In the Chiefs' 10 best games by total time of possession under Mahomes, they averaged 10.7 drives per game. Worst games by time of possession versus best games of time of possession moved the needle by an average of half a possession per game. Mm-hmm. That is not in any way meaningful for how the game is going to play out.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, if the Chiefs only have 10.2 possessions per game, mm-hmm. don't think there's a worse chance... a less chance of them winning than if they had 10 possessions per game. 10 to 10.
Sorry, you said it so slowly that I was actually preparing a rebuttal.
It's a dumb question.
I think the difference between 10 possessions and 10 possessions is probably minimal.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming. That one I knew. I could see that breaking news coming as it was coming around the corner there. What does end up looking like time of possession mattering is... whenever you have a three and out and you punt the ball back after possessing the ball for maybe a minute, mm-hmm. that's going to crush your time of possession. But the problem isn't that you only possess the ball for a minute on that drive. It's that you possess the ball for three plays on that drive and then punt it to the other team. That's where time of possession ends up looking bad. Whenever I think the stat is in those 10 games on either side or whatever, they're 9-1 versus 5-5 or something like that. The issue there is that if the offense isn't playing well and the defense is giving up long drives, which, by the way, long drives typically mean first downs, not getting off the field on third downs. Well, then those can be a canary in a coal mine of the actual issue. The issue isn't the canary. The issue is the gas in the cave that keeps it from coming back out again. That, I think, might be the biggest issue here in the way that we talk about this. Winning time of possession or limiting time of possession or whatever, you are not inherently doing anything there. As one of the many, 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 many products of offensive failures or defensive failures, whatever, off of bad games, your time of possession numbers will look a certain way. Similarly to how, you know, whenever the Chiefs give up 160-whatever yards rushing, their record is worse than whenever they don't. Well, because at that point in the game, typically, you've got teams that are moving the ball consistently, and you're running out the clock in the last 6 minutes, like the Texans did, I think, in the regular season last year.
The team running the ball has the lead. Which
they've gotten by any number of ways.
You know, and I remember Petro talked about this a long time ago when I was doing remotes. He talked about the fact that it was like he used to think running the ball mattered, and basically what he learned was, no, the reason why teams that were good had high rushing yards is because they were ahead.
Right.
They were getting the lead, and then
you play it safer.
And then they would start to play it safer. Like, guys, it wasn't that they were having success because they were running. It was because they were just good teams winning, and that led to more running the ball late in games.
Yep. It's why some stats, and in some places we're getting more sophisticated in how we measure these things. Mm-hmm. What did you just wave me off for, Beards? You waved me off at something.
I was going to make a dumb joke, but the time passed.
That was just to you. You waved yourself off there is what happened, but I saw it. What was the joke? Go ahead.
That poor canary.
We've gotten a little more sophisticated in things like looking at EPA whenever the winning percentage is between like 10 and 90% or whatever. So if you're down by a lot or up by a lot, we might cut those out as noise for the most part. And that's helping in some of these cases. And I think that using time of possession as the canary, as one of a lot of birds that you're throwing to their death, there may be a inkling of information that you can glean from that, which is to say, you know, look, whenever these things happen, whenever you get this result in time of possession or whatever, then look at the process that led to that. The process is the actual issue, not whatever random. I think the Browns lost time of possession to the Steelers. They definitely did, actually.
It was by about like 5 minutes.
I think the Colts and Steelers both won time of possession in the AFC playoff games last week. Those aberrations should only help to indicate, hey, this stuff is largely pretty random. And the reason the time of possession thing is so deeply frustrating to me is because it's not that we're just picking one useless stat over another one. It's that we talk about this useless stat and as if it has inherent meaning, when there are such better ways we can talk about how to beat the Chiefs, what the Browns could do, where the Chiefs need to make sure that they, you know, patch up all their holes and bail the water out of the boat. The amount of time that either team has the football is totally irrelevant. And you can't keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. You just need to score points, and then he's going to get the ball back unless you pull off an onside kick, which by all means, give it a shot. But don't worry about if the clock is running or not. Like, with time of possession, you are punishing yourself whenever your receiver runs out of bounds. That's nonsense! Beards, can I get breaking news, please? We need to take a break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You're not going to let me talk about like the targeting thing for the next
targeting.
6 minutes, are we? That's just not. I don't think.
I mean, you asked what I wanted to talk about, then you wanted me to pull up the Colony Hour audio. So you.
What's his name?
Listen, that was your fault.
New Year's.
What's the name of that host for Fox Sports 1?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Colony Hour
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I really like the idea of just having a library of names that Beards has said not exactly correct.
Yeah. I think my favorite is still the United Arab Emirates.
Oh,
that's a good one.
With Vince McMersh still on the table as the two seed? I mean, that's incredible.
Vince McMersh is good.
Beards, get that figured out by March, would you? I'm going to do a bracket of Beards mispronunciations.
I don't know if there's enough. We'll see.
Oh, I don't. I think
at some point, I'm just going to print off a list of names, just have you say them quickly, and we'll get some.
We'll make them.
Chaotic Warrior on Twitch says, what is it with this show and Animal Harm, a cat, now a canary, SMH? You listen here, Chaotic Warrior. This show feeds fed horses. This show feeds two birds with one scone. This show spills the beans instead of letting the cat out of the bag, although we would let the cat out of the bag if it was in the bag. I'm
going to
put a
cat
in the bag. No skin cats. Absolutely
not. No skin
cats. You guys want to pick the Chiefs game? It's Friday. We haven't had like a Friday pre-Chiefs show in a while.
Ooh, yeah.
Give me a score.
Chiefs 31-17.
Wow. Go ahead, Beards.
Chiefs 3, Browns 2.
So you're taking the under?
Sure.
I think I said something like 34-27. It gets closer at the end than it should seem.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that it'll work out just fine. They'll be in control. My pregame starts Sunday at 9 a.m. back here on this station. Tell somebody about Almost Entirely Sports if you dig it. AES.show for the podcast. We'll talk to you again early next week. Until then, bye!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.